التليفون التليفون مي غيرفون كو.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his companions and his wives and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah the way He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, it had been 5 years since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. 5 years into the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an event took place which continues to have an effect on the world until today. Until today, and it will remain to have an effect on the world until Allah inherits the earth and whatever is upon it. We learn in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after the Quraysh's were fed up with the continuous da'wah they were receiving, and after looking for all means to undermine the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to render it worthless, they decided to send two individuals to the Jews in Medina, and their intent was Al-Nadr ibn al-Harith and Uqba ibn al-Mu'ayyat. They sent him to the Jews to ask him about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ask them, because the Jews were people of the book, they had the Torah, and in the Torah there were prophecies of who will be coming after Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. So indeed they went to Medina and they met with the Jewish rabbis, and they informed them about the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon which they told them, we will give you 3 questions. You return back to Mecca and you ask this man, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about these 3 questions. If he informs you about them, then verily he is a messenger. He's someone who has received message, so the affair is up to you whether to follow him or not. However, if he does not answer you, it means that this is a man who fabricates speech, and then it is your affair how to deal with him as well. So they liked that idea. And the 3 questions were, the first, they said, ask him about some youths and their affair, which was amazing. And ask him about a king who was able to travel afar in the land to the far east and to the far west. And ask him about the ruh, the soul. So they returned to Quraysh and said, we have some results for you. The Jewish rabbis told us to ask him these 3 questions. And based on them we could make a ruling concerning him. And indeed their leaders went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked them about these 3 matters. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assumed he will receive revelation from Allah, as it is the case. Anytime they would ask him something, Allah would reveal the answer. They asked him about who Allah is. Allah revealed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say it is Allah the one who's unique. Allahu Samad, Allah the Absolute, until the end of the surah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّ قُلْ. They ask you about the moon sightings. Then tell them this is means for the people to calculate and for Hajj and so on and so forth. They ask you about mahayyat, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. They ask you about the menstrual cycle, say it is harm. So he assumed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same. He said to them, come to me tomorrow, and I shall inform you. However, he did not say, inshallah. He did not say, inshallah. What happened? The next day came, and Jibreel didn't come. Then the following day came, and Jibreel didn't come with the revelation. And 15 days passed. And you can imagine the mental state the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in. He wanted the people to embrace Islam so they may be protected from the fire. And now the da'wah is being jeopardized, or so he thought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought, but Allah had another plan. 15 days, he was emotionally stressed out. And the news started to spread among the Quraishis that this man does not really receive revelation. Where is the answer? Where are the answers for our questions? And then finally, a surah was revealed. Suratul Kahf. The one which we are supposed to recite every Jumu'ah, because we have many narrations speaking of the virtue of Surah Al-Kahf on Yawmul Jumu'ah. One of them speaks about reciting it in the morning, in the day of Jumu'ah, and one on the evening of Jumu'ah. The first narration mentions that Allah, you will have light illuminating from you to the ancient house to the Kaaba. And the other one mentions you will have light illuminating from you from that Jumu'ah until the following one. Light, Nur, will be illuminating from you because of reciting Surah Al-Kahf on the day or night of Jumu'ah. Which means from the Maghrib of Thursday until the Maghrib of today. From Maghrib Thursday, this is Laylatul Jumu'ah, because in Islam the night precedes the day. And from Maghrib of Thursday till the Fajr of Jumu'ah, this is Laylatul Jumu'ah. From the Fajr of Jumu'ah this morning until the Maghrib this evening, this is Yawmul Jumu'ah. You have 24 hours, in other words, to recite Surah Al-Kahf to receive these blessings. And what happened? How did Allah Azza wa Jal refute these claims? I cannot possibly address this issue with the short time which we have. But I invite you and myself to recite this surah not only for the purpose of reward. It is not sufficient to read it every Jumu'ah while not understanding the message therein. It is obligatory to understand the message of Islam and the message of the Quran. It is not merely a book which we recite, as it is the case with many people whom we ask Allah to guide to the correct understanding so they may adequately treat the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us here can explain Surah Al-Kahf, or can at least narrate to us the many stories found in it? We know there are multiple stories in Surah Al-Kahf, and each one has tremendous lessons behind it. And the one which we can afford to address today is none but the youth. أَمْ حَسِبَتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Or did you think that the companions of the cave and the inscription were among our signs a wonder? It was a wonder indeed. Not as wondrous as the rest of the creation of Allah, like the sun and the moon and the universe and ourselves. But it is a wonder indeed, their affair. إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. When they retreated to the cave and they said, our Lord, bestow upon us from you mercy and facilitate for us from our affair right guidance. The story of these youth, my brothers in Islam, is that they had believed in Allah Azza wa Jal while living amongst the disbelieving community. The king and the people at their time were kuffar who used to worship others with Allah. And they were upon the oneness of Allah. And they were being persecuted by the king and his followers. And they declared and proclaimed before the people that they will worship none but Allah. And they asked Allah's guidance and relied on Him and depended on Him. And when you do so, extraordinary things happen. Allah Azza wa Jal made them retreat to the cave where they remained 309 years. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So we cast deafness over their ears for 309 years. Sinina adada, many years. The scholars say the reason why Allah took their hearing ability is because when you're asleep, the rest of your senses are oblivious to their surroundings. You can't see, you can't taste, and you can't feel predominantly. But hearing is what wakes you up. That's why we use alarms to wake us up. Allah made them not listen anymore. And they remained turning around in their cave for 309 years. Allah making the sun deliberately avoid remaining on them straight so it may not burn their bodies. Yet they will be turning so the earth will not make them decay. It was an amazing sign. And they remained there for so many years and went back out to their people. What is the lesson that we can relate to? The lesson which we need to deduce from this story today is that when fitna, when trials, when tribulations, when evil is and mischief are spread, then we need to retreat to a cave. The same way they retreated to a cave. And I'm not speaking about a physical cave. The cave is symbolic to the deen of Islam, to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors. This is the cave in this day and time. When you go back to the Quran and the Sunnah and you leave alone the sins, disobedience, emotionalism and desires, then Allah Azza wa Jal will protect us the same way He protected them. However, when we do not do so, then we are exposing ourselves to the fitna. And when you expose yourself to the fitna, very few people make it. Very few are those who make it, most will be devoured by it. So what are we holding on to in this day and time? While the Muslim world is in this strife, the Muslim world is suffering all over. What are we holding on to protect ourselves? Just because we're distant now, it doesn't mean that we are not exposed to it. It doesn't mean that it may not afflict us sooner or later or those close to us. Preparation is required. And that cannot happen unless we know Tawheed. And we declare Tawheed. And we learn Tawheed and we teach Tawheed. It was that which made these youth distinct. And it is that which made Allah Azza wa Jal protect them and preserve them. And they became a sign which we speak about until today. And this goes out to the youth and the elderly. And even the young children. It is time to protect ourselves from the fitna which is approaching. You must realize that the narration say that no time shall pass except that the time that comes is worse than the one that preceded it. We will continue to see things escalate and get worse and worse before our eyes. And if we don't have the ammunition to protect ourselves, we will be destroyed. Enough playing games with the deen of Allah. It is time to return to it sincerely for the sake of Allah. every ruling which you are aware of, my brother, act upon it before a time comes where you would want to act upon it, but you will not be given success by Allah. If we take these matters lightly, we may reach a dead end after which there is no return. And Allah taught us this in Surah Al-Kahf. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقَرًا وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And who is more oppressive and unjust than he who is reminded about the signs of his Lord, but then he turns away from them and he forgets what his hands had put forth of sin? Then listen to what Allah said. Verily, we have placed veils over their hearts, blocks over their hearts, ayyafqahu, so that they may understand. Meaning the veils would prevent them from understanding the reminder. وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا, and in their ears is deafness. And then the final and most threatening part of the ayah, وَإِن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And even if you were to call them to guidance, they will not be guided afterwards ever. Ever. When Allah opens the door for hidayah and you shut it, you may never be able to open it again. Even if you had the whole force of the world with you, you will never be able to open a door that Allah closed. How many times have we heard the reminders from this minbar? How many times have we heard the reminders in the lectures and the classes? Are we deaf or what? Are we deaf or do we not understand? When you hear the reminder, you need to react positively. Otherwise, Allah may take it away from you and you can never change your condition afterwards. Brothers, let us not wait for that moment of regret. That painful moment where we would beg Allah to be brought back to the dunya so we may follow the Quran and the Sunnah, but we will not be granted this request. While you have it today, be intelligent and do something about it. Regret will be of no benefit on the day where Allah made regret of no benefit. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enlighten our minds and rectify our condition and guide us to that which is pleasing to Him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. As you recite Surah Al-Kahf, you read something amazing. Allah Azza wa Jal addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, by saying, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, come back tomorrow, I will inform you of the stories. Allah later on instructed him and us in turn. And never say to anything, I will do such and such tomorrow, unless you say, inshallah. If Allah wills, Allah willing. And remember your Lord if you do forget. The scholars say, meaning if you forgot to say inshallah initially, then you remembered later, then say inshallah. This lesson here is so valuable, and it is so sad that we have such a misunderstanding about it, that wallahi I fear Allah's punishment. Today, you know what inshallah means? It means I'm not going to do it. The people have become so weak in faith, so distant from the deen of Allah, so negligent about His rights, that when someone wants to tell you to get away from him and leave him alone, and you tell him to do something, he'll say, inshallah. And he means by inshallah, I'm never going to do it. And this is something the kuffar have understood from the Muslims before we understood it from one another. And I've met them. I've met disbelievers. believers who embrace Islam, who told me, we used to think inshallah means, when they say inshallah meaning, I'm not going to do it. This is against the da'wah. Inshallah means, I will do everything within my ability, however I am a slave, and if Allah allows it to materialize, He will do so. It is in His hands. It doesn't mean that I don't care enough to do something about it. So this is a lesson which we learn. Relying upon Allah Azza wa Jalla in everything. It is Allah who wills that we come to the masjid. And it is Allah who wills that we pray. It is Allah who wills that we fast. It is Allah who wills that we recite the Quran. Nothing is done unless Allah wills first. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And you never will anything until Allah wills it first. A lesson to remain connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To ever remember Allah. And when we say inshallah, we should mean it. We should mean it. Lastly, my brothers in Islam, Islam is an organized way of life. We are not people of chaos, and our behavior must be in agreement with Islam. If you go downstairs now, you will find that there are 3 to 4 cars double parked and blocking a one car that is inside. This is haram. Understand my speech. Understand. Haram. 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 For you to block someone so you can attend Jumu'ah. Haram. If you have to park all the way down the street like I had to do, and walk on your feet, I could say to myself, I'm the khatib. I'm a special case. Blah, blah, blah. This is from the shaitan. I shouldn't buy it. You shouldn't buy it. If you have to park 10 minutes away, park 10 minutes away and walk on the feet that Allah gave you. So when you're finished, you can walk back, get in your car and leave. But to block people, this is haram in Islam. There was a guy downstairs right now before I came up. Allahu A'lam, I don't see him here whether he's a Muslim or a Christian. He could be a Christian. And he was complaining that people have blocked him. He has an appointment at 1 o'clock. I'm still speaking 5 to 1. By the time I finish Salah 1:10, what will happen to him? And who's responsible for him? And what kind of da'wah is this to the non-Muslims? Do we not understand people have obligations? This is unacceptable. These are part of the basics that we need to treat each other with for the sake of Allah. The second reminder, my brother in Islam, Habibi, my beloved brother, you want the ajr, you want the reward, you want Allah's mercy. I ask you, where were you at 11:30? And where were you at 12 o'clock? And where were you at 12:15? Rather, where were you at 12:30? You come the last minute and you cause chaos in the back of the masjid. You try to find a place somewhere in the front. Ya akhi, this is again unacceptable. If you want the ajr of the first rows, particularly the first row, you have to make some effort for Allah to facilitate. It is unacceptable to come and walk over people fetching for a place. This is haram according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? You're harming the people. You are harming the people. We appreciate the fact that you want ajr. But for you to get it, you have to be, Allah has to be pleased with your actions. You can't steal an apple and give it as a sadaqah. And you can't harm the Muslims and get the reward of being in the front. It's the same thing. The means, the ends do not justify the means. The ends do not justify the means. Come early. Come early. I've been saying it for I don't know how many years now. I don't even know how many years we've been given khutbah. For years, brother, barakallah feek, come early. Abadan, abadan. Same thing. Every Friday, same thing. And the same actions take place. Inshallah, one day we will learn. Inshallah, one day we will actually apply a reminder which we hear from the member, besides saying nice khutbah, not nice khutbah, long khutbah, short khutbah, screaming, not screaming. Leave alone the commentary alone, barakallah feek. If you hear something beneficial, act upon it. If you hear something not beneficial, just leave it for the sake of Allah. Make dua for me. But to turn it into a commentary session and then we don't apply anything, I don't want to scream for nothing. And I don't want you to hear screaming for nothing either. So please, I beg you. I beg you for the sake of Allah. From next Friday, you come early. You park your car in a place where you're not blocking anyone. And you handle business as Allah intends. then you will see how Allah will bless your life. Trying to go through shortcuts, this is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we began this khutbah by saying that we need to attach and act upon the deen to protect ourselves from the fitna, from the smallest to the most major. All of them is relevant. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us success and to pardon our shortcomings. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Aqim as-salah. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.